We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So we're just going to get straight into our word this morning. And our word comes from the book of 1 Samuel, from chapter 3, from verse 1 up until verse 11. So, and I will read as you read with us. The Bible says, "The Lord called Samuel," that's the title. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Amen. Amen. Thank the reading of the word. Amen. 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 So, I don't know if you are like me, but I didn't realize how important themes are, naturally, you know, when you're going through life. Themes are just so important. And even when we have our church themes, each and every single year, I used to be one of those people where, you know, when they announce what the theme is, I'll be so excited. Yes, what's the theme? Grow deep to reach wide. Grow deep to reach wide, right? So I used to be so enthusiastic. And obviously, as a young person, you know, that's why you've got all the energy. So we would shout at the top of our lungs, just saying, yes, this is the theme. And then, I mean, last year's theme really challenged me. I mean, it was the theme of open doors, and I realized that there were so many doors that I wanted God to open. So I was very, like, conscious, and I was like, okay, I can't be like the other times where I would just be shouting at the top of my lungs, you know? This time, I have to make that conscious decision to say, okay, Lord, I want you to open this door, or whichever door that you're going to open in my life, may it be so. And I realized that God was challenging me and pushing me, and I had to learn to participate. I mean, before I was a spectator, I would spectate and shout, but now I had to learn to participate. And even through that, one of the prayers, I was like, God, I want to testify of your goodness even as we are in these open doors. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. So even when this year's theme came, I also realized that I had a choice to respond. Either I could be a participant, or either I could go back to being a spectator. So even as we come to the end of our theme this year, we all have a choice, whether to be a spectator or whether to choose to participate. I mean, making room for God, we'll always have to make room. I mean, I think the Dayspring drama, you know, really touched me about the garage. I mean, the garage naturally is used for cars anyways, but we tend to put all of our gardening tools, everything there. So when... So, you know, we were challenged to make room that even in our, you know, in our lives, even in those places, even in our houses, that what are we using this room for the right thing? You know, we had to make room. So we'll just get into the word. And we are told of a man or a boy at that point, we don't know, but called Samuel. I mean, in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of 1 Samuel, where, you know, there's a detailed explanation of who Samuel is and how he came about. Samuel was a young man, and his mother was Hannah. Now, Hannah was married to a man called Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, Penina, and Hannah as well. So Penina had a lot of children. So she would provoke Hannah. And therefore, Hannah could feel it because she didn't have any children. She was barren. The Lord had closed her womb. So she could feel it. And in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, we're told that Hannah goes into the house of the Lord and she prays. You know, that kind of deep prayer where even the priest had to think, is she okay? Because I think she's a little bit drunk. We don't know, you know. Until he went over and she explained the situation and he blessed her. So that's how Samuel came about. So the next year, she was able to conceive and she bore Samuel. And she dedicated Samuel back to the house of the Lord. So now we are told that Samuel is now back in the house of the Lord in chapter 3. And we also come across a man, the priest, called Eli, the one who blessed Hannah as well when she was in the house of the Lord. Now, Eli was the high priest and he served at the tabernacle of Shiloh. And in chapter 1, we learn that he is the priest who blessed Hannah, I mean, when she was crying to the Lord. And also, in chapter 3, we now learn that Eli was old, you know, both physically and spiritually, his eyes were also becoming weak, as we learned in verse 2. So we come across these two chapters. And even as we were just, you know, I was just praying, and I was like, God, what exactly is the message? What exactly do we learn from this? And the title of today's message is Make Room for Service, Our Response. And these are some of the lessons I believe that we can all learn from this particular book. And number one, we can learn to respond. Okay, responding to God looks a disruption in your life. From verse 1 to verse 8, we are told that Samuel was lying down. I mean, we're not sure exactly what time of day or night. I mean, it was a time of sleep that we know. But we're told that he was lying down. How many of us in this place like our sleep? Yeah. So, you know, when someone calls you when you're sleeping, you know, it feels like a disruption, right? Yeah, I mean, I have first-hand experience. Like, you know, I love our parents. Parents are amazing, by the way, just to let you know. Parents are absolutely amazing. And sometimes, you know, as a kid, as I was growing up, you would come back home, you know, from school. There's a lot that has just happened at school. And all I just want to do, go into my room and sleep. That's all, right? So I would just, you know, put my bag everywhere, go into my room and just sleep. And then all I hear, Cynthia, and then you just know, why? You're disrupting my sleep, you know? So to me, it felt like a disruption. However, at other times, she'll be calling me, she'll be like, oh, just to let you know, there's food in the oven if you wanted to eat, right? So to me, I felt like, this woman is disrupting me. However, you know, there was something good that actually came from my mom calling me, even when it felt like a disruption. And so even in the Bible at this particular time, I can imagine maybe for Samuel, that's what he felt like. You know, he thought, Eli is calling me right now and I just want to go to sleep. You know, Eli is calling and I just want to sleep. And that's the same even in our own lives. You know, making room for God may look like a disruption in our lives. And why? I mean, because oftentimes we have our own timetable. We have our own way of doing things. You know, like I said, when I was coming back from school, I had my timetable that I would sleep and I'll wake up and then I'll eat and I'll do this. But at a particular time, I had to learn that actually I was being called at this particular time for a particular reason, right? So to me, it felt like a disruption. However, it was not a disruption. And also maybe, just maybe, that God called Samuel at this particular time because there was stillness in the whole world. It was a time of sleep. And therefore, even when God was calling Samuel, this was the perfect time when Samuel could respond. He was going to be very more attentive. You know, when someone calls you and it's so busy, you even have to look around to say, wait, who's the one who's calling me? But when the house is so quiet, You're like, oh, I think there's a voice calling me. And therefore, I believe that even with our lives, may it be so that when God calls us, may we not see it as a disruption. Amen. May we not see it as a disruption. And number two, we need help to God's call to service. Verse 8 and verse 9 says, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I mean, another example. When I was growing up, you know, I grew up in Africa. And my language that I grew up talking is called, it's a language called Shona. I like to believe that Shona is a little bit like French, you know. We just, yeah. It's a little bit like French. Okay, I'll explain why. It's because, you know, in the French language, you've got the, when someone feminine or of a female gender is calling you, you answer them in a certain way, right? There's the feminine and the masculine. So that's the same a little bit with Shona, you know? So that's why I was saying it's a little bit like French, because, you know. And when I was young, I didn't know that when someone, let's say if it was my mom or my aunties, would call me, I had to learn to respond in a certain way. So my cousins would laugh at me because they would be like, Cynthia, you know, the way that you're answering, this is not the right term, you know? And they had to teach me how to answer. And even through that whole process, I had to learn on how to hear the voice of the one who is calling me. And therefore, that prepared me how I ought to answer. So when my mom would call me, I would say, yes, ma, you know? When my dad would call me, I'd be like, yes, father, how are you? You know, so I had to learn that when it's this particular voice, this is how I ought to respond. And when it's this particular voice, this is how I also ought to respond. I mean, Samuel nearly missed the call of God 3 times, when you think about it. 3 times. And that, as the Bible says, he had not yet known the voice of the Lord. So when Eli realized that, actually, the one who is calling you, in fact, this is how you ought to respond to the one who is calling you. Samuel had to be taught and to be equipped how to respond. It just didn't come naturally. You know, just like children, when you've got a newborn baby, you know, they will learn by time that, oh, actually, my mom is calling me. This is how I ought to respond. Or my father is calling me. This is how I ought to respond. And that's the same with Samuel, that this was the time of being equipped. Early in at this time of night, you know, he was taught on how to be equipped and how to respond to the call of God. And making room for us as Christians to be equipped is so important. I think it has to be one of the most important things, I think. I mean, we can be equipped. Without being equipped, we can respond in a different way. And that might not necessarily mean that we're responding in the right way to God. And the other thing is what that matters when we also are learning to be equipped is also our attitude. That even as we learned in the book of Samuel, that we don't hear that Samuel, you know, responded in a dismanner. I don't know if that's a word, but yeah, you know. But he had to, we learned that he was humbled, that he was humble even before Eli. I mean, yeah, our attitude could, you know, deter us from learning to be equipped. Sometimes we can be so ignorant, you know, where when we hear the call, we're like, ah, no, I don't think this call is for me. I don't think this one is for me. In fact, we even choose to go the opposite direction when we even hear the call. Or we'll even act like we don't even hear the call. You know, I don't know if you ever see, you know when children are so funny sometimes, but sometimes the child could be right next to you and you're calling them and they'll just be staring wherever they are. It's as if you're not even in the room with them, you know? And that's how sometimes we can be, where God is calling and calling and calling, and we are pretending as if we are not hearing, you know? In our minds, we're like, no, we're not hearing. And we even choose to not hear or to respond. Sometimes we choose to be indifferent, you know, and we miss the opportunity to respond to God. Sometimes it's our pride. I can't be doing this one, you know. You're calling me to do this, Lord. I can't. I mean, look, can you see where I am right now? You know, it's pride. Where we think that maybe we're a little bit too far. We're further ahead, so therefore we need other things. We may actually miss the call of God in our lives. And sometimes fear prevents us as well from hearing the call of God, where we are so scared of even learning how to respond, where we think, no, this job is just so much. I can't, not me. Lord, I think you meant that other person, but not surely not me. I don't think you're calling me, you know? If your name is like Cynthia, I'm like, oh, no, I think you're calling Cecilia. I heard Cecilia, not Cynthia, Cecilia. It was Cecilia. Yeah, I don't think it was me, you know? Because of fear. Fear will be holding us back, even from being equipped. When they tell you, oh, you know what? We've got a leadership seminar for everybody. You're allowed to come. Ah, yeah, no, me. I'm not a leader, so I won't be able to come. You know, that day I'm busy, you know. I think I have to go to town that day because I'm not a leader, right? And that's fear holding us back from responding or even learning on how to respond to the word of God. What kind of attitude do we all have when we are learning to be equipped? And does it need to change our attitude as well? Are we willing to learn as well? What is our attitude like? And these are the questions I believe that we ought to use as well to examine our lives. I don't know, sometimes it's just good to be able to do an audit of our lives and say, God, in fact, show me my heart. What is it in me that just needs to change? That leads us as well to our third point. Responding to God involves preparing your heart. You know, in this story, we hear that the first time that Samuel responded when he heard the call, when he responded to, and he thought it was Eli, he ran, right? The second time, we are told that Samuel got up and went. You know, there's a change in the language there. You know, the first time, he was so enthusiastic, he ran. The second time, he got up and he went. The third time, Samuel, we just told that he got up. And now when he was taught how to respond back to God, the Bible said that the Lord came and stood. And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You know, when we are taught how to respond, our mind shifts, or the ideology that we have in our mind also shifts. So that therefore means that even our hearts, we have to learn to prepare. And I believe that Samuel had to learn to prepare his heart to hear from God, because he knew that this is not Eli actually speaking. So therefore, my heart has to be open to hear the Lord speaking. I mean, this time when he was responding back, the fourth time when he was responding back to God, you know, the difference that is that he was responding back with understanding of who was calling him and revelation of who was calling him. So therefore, even his posture and his mind was in a different place, you know. From running and getting up, he had to remember that this time I can just lay here and be attentive. You know, how are you preparing to hear from God today? I remember there was a week when Mr. Piri was preaching. And I remember even when we were here in church, I had a vision of this grass, right? There was just green grass. And this grass had leaves, just all sorts of leaves in the grass. And there was just like a strong wind that was just pulling every bit of the grass, every little bit of the leaves away. And it only made sense when I was preparing this message that this is what God was trying to say to us. And in that particular point, that the Holy Spirit represents the strong wind. And I believe that there are some things in our hearts that need to be blown away. That we are holding certain things in our hearts. I mean, I like autumn. We all like autumn, right? I like the yellow leaves. Everything is just so nice and bright and colorful. You walk around, it's like leaves are falling, and it feels like a walkway for you, you know? Just like you're walking to work, and there's just a walkway of leaves, right? So I love autumn. But the thing about autumn is that there has to be a time when there's a strong wind and there's rain that clears up all the leaves so that the grass can be green again. And maybe this is a new season where God wants us to make sure that our hearts are ready for this new season that he's calling us. I mean, during the conference, we heard that God wanted to do something new in our lives, that there is an open heavens and that God is pouring down his rain upon us. Where does rain fall? Rain falls on the ground, right? But in order for the rain to be effective, the ground also has to be soft, or it has to be, I mean, I'm not a farmer now, so, you know. Yeah, till, yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. I won't say it again just in case I say it wrong. But yes, that one. Yes. So, I mean, farmers are so intentional about making sure that the ground is fertile or you know, that the ground is ready to receive the rain. So every single time when they go and plant, they have to make sure that, yes, this ground is, this one is a good ground, so we'll plant and grow crops here. In Hosea 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." Unplowed ground is like the stubborn, hard ground that just does not want to move. It, you know, it's so resistant. Even when the rain comes, the rain, I'm sure, will just flow. It won't even have time to go deep and to uproot whatever it is if there are seeds in there. So sometimes that's like us as well, you know, with our hearts, where our hearts are like unplowed ground. That when we are taught or when the word of God comes into our lives, not a lot of action happens, or we don't even germinate fruit because our hearts are like unplowed ground. We all sow into our lives. Every single decision, we all sow. Everything that we do, we all sow into our lives. What seed do you want to sow in your life? That when people look at you, would they see you as, this is a beautiful garden? In fact, I just want to be around this person because, you know what? I just look at their life and I'm like, wow. Or are you that person where they're like, I think when this person calls me, I'm just not available. You know, what are we sowing? That when even the rain comes, what crops do we want to grow? What is the posture of our heart looking like today? Are we allowing the word of God to come and marinate in our hearts? Or would this be one of those messages where we're thinking, it's okay, I think I know this one. I mean, the story has been told before. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Yeah, I know that one. How are we responding to God this morning? Amen. And number four, your response to God's call to service matters. Your response to God's call to service matters. Verse 10 into 11 says, "The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle.' Samuel answered the Lord, well, Samuel answered faithfully four times, if you think about it. How many times do we answer when we hear the call of God? Or, in fact, maybe you'll be thinking to yourself, why will even my response matter? I mean, God, you've got almost 7 billion people in the world, right? Why would my response matter? When we respond to God, the direction of our life changes. The moment you say yes to God, or even the moment you say no to God, the direction of your life will change. When Samuel answered the call of God, the trajectory of his life just changed. I mean, this is a young boy at that point, maybe, but who even didn't know the voice of God? But the moment he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," that just changed every single thing of his life. I mean, I don't know what dreams he had as a when he was growing up. Maybe he thought to himself, "Oh, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord forever. Maybe I'll just be the person just doing the broom, and maybe I'll be promoted to be doing the windows. I don't know. Maybe that's what he thought to himself." But at that point, God was calling him higher. At that point, when he responded back and saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," everything changed in his life. In fact, he became one of the most influential judges in Israel. And he's the one, even when Pastor was reading from today, you know, he was the one who anointed King David, you know? So he was so influential in his time. And it all started off with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Even as we later on read in chapter 3, you know, we learn that he matured in the Lord. And he did not let the word of the Lord fall to the ground. And that started off with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I mean, the first time when Samuel was called, he said, "Here I am, you called me." I want you to just notice the language change, right? Every single time he thought Eli was calling him, he said, "Here I am, you called me." Which meant that he thought that, oh, here I am, you called me, there's something that you want me to do. So here I am, what task would you want me to do? Right? So for him, he just thought, it's just another task. But when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," there was a language change at that point. And the difference is, When we are hearing and listening, I've learned that they're two different things. When we hear, I mean, it comes from one ear and it goes out the other ear, right? Normally. And maybe we will retain some of the things that we thought we just want to just stay in our brains, but it's not guaranteed. And I was reflecting on this. And I remember sometimes my brother would come and tell me stories, right? So he would come, "Oh, Cynthia, let me tell you, this and this and this happened today, and then this and this and this." And then I'll be there, And then halfway through the story, you'll be like, "You know what, it's okay. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore." Like, it's actually fine. But listening is being attentive, right? Listening means that when someone calls you, your whole, even your body posture just changes. Like, the way that you're attentive, like your mind is so captivated by what they're going to say to you. That's listening. Where even your own body will respond. That's listening. And on that particular day, Samuel chose to listen. So who will you listen to today? I mean, will you let the word of God fall to the ground and just be a hearer? Or will you choose to be a listener today? What do we know about Samuel? Samuel was also recognized. I mean, he was very influential over the land and an outstanding prophet of his time. And God revealed to him, God revealed himself to Samuel, and the word came to him. There was so much we could say about the boy Samuel, and all because it started with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That was his response. I mean, I can only imagine how our lives would change today when we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That maybe today you are in this particular point of your life where you're like, "God, in fact, I can't even see my future right now." But when you decide to turn the other way and say, "Lord, here I am. Speak, for your servant is listening," that the trajectory of your life will change today. When we choose to respond to God, I mean, just imagine the kind of impact that we will have in our generation. Sometimes, you know, we look at the great, you know, people who, of our time, even now, who are preaching all over the world and who are, you know, making sure that they're evangelizing. And we look at them and I'm like, wow, wow. And I believe that even with them, it all started with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." They had a choice to respond. And they say, "You know what, God? I'm not going to listen to my fear. I'm not going to listen to my pride. I'm not going to allow your word to fall on the ground, but I'm going to be the one who will say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' In fact, my whole body is going to be attentive. Everything, I will respond today by being attentive to your word. That, God, I won't come out. I won't get out of this place without you speaking to me. If you're going to do something in this place, in fact, I want to be part of the people who are doing something in this place. I want to be part of the people who are making a difference in my generation today. In fact, my friends and my family, they have to know who you are. I can't be the only one who know who you are. It can't. In fact, Lord, even if you want to send me where the prime minister sits to be the one who will counsel them, in fact, I will do it because I'm going to say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" What kind of an impact do you want to have today? And what is your response to the Lord today? For some of us, God has been knocking. And the amazing thing about God, even in this story, was God called Samuel until Samuel knew how to respond. He called Samuel until Samuel knew how to respond. How many times has God been calling you? Maybe for you it's been 100, you know, 100 times. Maybe you were called as a kid when you were still a young girl, a young man. Or maybe you were called, and maybe this is your first time, where you're like, "God, I think I hear your voice." When we feel like we cannot commit to the call of God, I mean, we're in this season of making room, right? And it's about stretching. Being uncomfortable. And I believe for Samuel, at that point when he responded, that was the stretching. That was the point where he knew that, okay, maybe I'm going to be a bit uncomfortable right now. You know, I'm going to learn to be uncomfortable. Sometimes we think that we don't even have the capacity to be able to answer to the call of God. "God, I'm so busy. So I don't think my response will matter today. In fact, I've got house chores, I've got this, and I've got work, and then I've got this, and this, and this is happening." I mean, I was part of that too, so I can relate. Where we just don't think that we have got the capacity. But when God is calling us to a new level of stretching, he doesn't really look at your capacity because he will fill you up. It's not about what you can do and in your power. It's never about that. But it's always about God and what God can do through you. So will you allow God to use you today? When you go to work, like what Pastor was saying was, will you be that one person where you're like, where they look at you and they're like, "You are so different." And you can testify and say, "Yes, Lord. Because I said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And my prayer is that may we be the ones who will choose to respond. May we be the participants and not the spectators in the house of the Lord. I mean, just like, you know, when people are in a football match, you know, everybody who is a fan, normally they are a participant, because when the song is sang, whatever song it is, they all sing it, right? May we all be the participants in the house of the Lord when God calls. May we also move swiftly with obedience to God as He calls us. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May that be our prayer today. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.